This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. We've got more Yankee tickets for you every single hour. We'll be giving those away, so stay tuned for that as the show goes on, as we wait for baseball to resume again. And yesterday we talked about some of the Mets' dysfunction. Today we wake up to reports of pitchers on the block. One, not that surprising at all, really, with Zach Wheeler and the Red Sox being in on Wheeler, and Brody and the Red Sox having conversations about Zach Wheeler. But once again, a bigger name has come up that would really signify we're moving in a different direction as an organization. That's what Brody would be saying. And that is Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard, the Padres are calling, the Brewers are calling. People want Noah Syndergaard. Why wouldn't they want Noah Syndergaard? And why are other GMs calling Brody? Because they look at the Mets and say, well, that team's out of it. But does Brody look at the Mets and say we're out of it? That will be the question, but there will be a lot of action the next couple of weeks as we get to this trade deadline at the end of the month. You're not my father. You're not God. You're not my boss. We will talk about that coming up in just a little bit as well. If you don't know what we're talking about, you don't have the internet, I guess, because everybody in America and the world saw that video on Bayshore at a Bagel Boss. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's kind of interesting. You brought up the Mets and everything else. It's exactly what we started with yesterday. And I gave them a recipe for fixing their team and their roster. And they should be exploring every possible trade scenario pretty much for about five different players. And I would say Jacob deGrom should be in the middle of that. Ultimately, this team is severely flawed. The minor league system is essentially empty. They're all here now. You know, McNeil's here, Alonso's here, Nimmo's nowhere to be found, Conforto's here. You know, these are guys that you have to build around. The older guys, or maybe the guys that have been here for 4 or 5 years, are guys now that you can move away from and should trade because they do have significant value on the open market. So if you are Brody Van Wagenen, you should be listening to all trade calls. You should listen to everything and try to figure out how to get a legitimate third baseman, how to get a legitimate center fielder, how to get a legitimate shortstop, how to get a legitimate, you know, maybe another extra outfielder, and maybe even other young pitching prospects and other people's in other people's systems. And then you can also move away from some of the bigger contracts. The real thing is like, can you get somebody to take Robinson Cano along with one of these pitchers? You probably can't, but he has to do all of that. Now, I don't think you have to do anything immediately. I think you have 10 to 12 to 14 days to figure this thing out. So your team comes out of the All-Star break. See if they catch fire just by chance. If they do, then maybe things 2 weeks from now would be a little bit different than they are today. But I just think it makes practical sense to listen, to talk to, and to evaluate what opportunities that there are out there for you to rebuild your team. And there have been a number of teams that have gone through this. And we as Met fans have got to realize the problems that we have here on this team. And let's not put our head in the sand. So, you know, Minnesota can do it. Houston did it. I think that there are a number of other teams that are in the process of doing it. Somehow the Indians have always remained competitive with a limited budget and everything else, and losing players like Brantley and things of that nature. So it can happen. It's just whether or not our fan base and us as fans will put up with it and give it a chance And do we trust the guy that is in charge right now to do all of this?
Yeah, and I don't think any Met fan is going to say yes to your last question. And you know, as far as DeGrom goes, I still don't think that's going to be on the table. I do find it interesting, though, that here we are again talking about a Noah Syndergaard trade. It was something that was on the table, at least talked about early on in the offseason, and then Noah was going back and forth with Andy Martino of SNY and calling it fake news and this and that. And here we are again. Now, Noah Syndergaard has been overvalued, overrated. He is someone that is more sizzle than substance in the last couple of years, dealt with some injuries. I still have this feeling, though, that the Mets, if given that choice to hang on to him and continue to give him other opportunities, that they're going to take it unless they get blown away. Noah has got this presence about him. When Jerry and I went over to Citi Field, when you watch Noah Syndergaard on TV and you watch him every night and then you're standing next to him and you can understand why a general manager, a manager, and an owner, they don't want to give up on the guy and they don't want to trade him away because he just looks and embodies a superstar, but he hasn't pitched like that. And that's what's sort of infuriating about some of the Mets players is they tantalize you a little bit. And I really think that Noah Syndergaard is the poster child for that. It's tantalizing. There's, oh man, if he ever just was able to maximize his full potential, what would you have? But he just hasn't been that guy. And can the Mets now live with the fact of trading away Noah Syndergaard, having him, let's say, I don't know, go to Houston, Milwaukee, San Diego?
He may tip the scales.
Can you live with that? Can you live with
that? It all depends on what you get back. If he is the crown jewel of the offseason, trading season, then you have to extract something of significance back from your trading partner. I don't care what you say. I mean, if you get some, you know, low class A ball player and some player to be named later or some crap like that, you know, that's what Todd Frazier's there for. Noah Syndergaard, I would think, and I don't think he's overrated. Maybe it's just not working here. Maybe he, like Matt Harvey, has had enough in New York. Who knows? I mean, his last outing against the Phillies was awful. I mean, come on. I mean, he has had one. I think he's had one outing this year. I think one where he hasn't given up a run. You know, every outing he's three runs, four runs, six runs. I mean, you know, so it's not like, you know, he's been lights out, and it's always like mechanics this, mechanics that. I mean, he has been like, you know, like kind of like Matt Harvey in a sense that at least Matt Harvey actually got to the top and made it to the, you know, the All-Star game and led his, you know, what blew through his innings limit and then blew his body out.
Sure.
At least he laid it on the line.
Yeah.
I don't know. This guy, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe he needs to go somewhere else. Maybe he needs a new pitching coach in his ear. You know, this whole Regan experiment, how's that going?
Yeah, not very well, of course. We know that. It's just, if the Mets now are going to turn the page, you know Vargas isn't going to be here. You know Wheeler isn't going to be here. And I'm talking next year and maybe at the trade deadline. And now you're talking about trading away Noah Syndergaard. It's like, who's going to pitch for you? You move Steven Matz to the bullpen, and he has been a disappointment probably larger than anything else we've talked about in this rotation. So, Steven Matz, you're going to pin your entire rotation on DeGrom, Steven Matz, and three question marks?
That's a problem. You know, it depends. What are you going to do for the rest of this year? You bring guys up.
But what about next year? I mean, that's another. This is why you can't trade away everybody.
It all depends on who you can trade Noah Syndergaard for. That's it.
Yeah, it's not
what it comes down to. And I don't know. You know, right now, because of, you know, the fact that they haven't played and they won't, you know, get started until tomorrow night, we're all sitting here trying to pick apart this team, and rightfully so, because the team has not played up to the preseason expectations of its general manager, who basically boasted about the team. I mean, he brought all this stuff on himself now. You know, I mean, this wasn't a guy who basically said, you know, we believe we have really good players here, we can do this. You know, the way that he said it, the way that he was so boastful and come get us and all this other crap.
Well, that's why I think he's so frustrated and he's lashing out.
This year and every year, and all the comments that, you know, inexperienced, nervous general manager said on his first couple days.
See, I don't even think he was nervous in the beginning. I think that's who he was and what he believed. I really think that he thought that he was going to come in, make these moves, turn this team around, looked at the Mets as a sleeping giant. All it took was this and that and a little tweak here and look at this rotation. I mean, how many times have we heard all of that? Oh, geez, guys, you get this rotation humming and then all of a sudden everything will be all right. So I really do believe that he believed in the beginning of the season everything he said. It's just a matter now. He understands he painted himself in a corner, and that's why I think you see the lash-out episodes like throwing of the chair in coaches' meetings. So Brody Van Wagenen has got this offseason, of course, coming up because he's not going to fire or resign, and he's also got this trade deadline here. And when you talk about trusting a guy to be able to make those moves. Of course, nobody can trust him at this point, but he's going to be the one making them.
Would you trust Omar Minaya?
More than Brody Van Wagenen,
I mean,
sure.
At least he's in the building, right?
More than Brody Van Wagenen, but here's the thing. Brody brought in a million. Omar stayed, right? A couple other guys stayed in the organization. He hired 10 million special advisors. You know, Jeff and Fred were all about Brody Van Wagenen. He was supposed to do all these great things.
The face of the franchise.
But so, I mean, clearly he had a miserable offseason, and he's got to figure out a way to fix it. And the first step is to make the right moves at this trade deadline. Now, we look at Noah Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler and see guys who have been good for stretches, have been great for stretches, but have not been consistent. And we look at pitchers on a team that has let us down for year after year after year after the World Series appearance followed up by the wild card. Miserable years. That's what we look at. But these other teams that are in contention now that look at the pitching market, look at Zach Wheeler and even more so Noah Syndergaard as the piece that might win him a championship. And this is why Brody needs to strike. This is why he needs to do it. And yeah, there's going to be holes if you trade Wheeler, Syndergaard, and Vargas. I do understand that. But those three guys, coupled with Todd Frazier, you know, maybe a bullpen piece, who the hell knows?
Dom Smith.
That could be, if he does it right, the turning of the page that this organization needs, bring in an influx of players, with which you have been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see these headlines, it's, you know, Red Sox love Zach Wheeler, Padres calling about Noah Syndergaard. There are teams that look at these two guys not like disappointments that we want more from, that we expected them to dominate.
They think that they can get more out of them.
Right. And by the way, you see what Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton, when these guys go to Houston,
yeah.
If Wheeler or Syndergaard goes to Houston, they might throw 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, you never know. And they may be in a new organization, a new way of doing things, and also being thrust into a pennant race is a little bit more appealing, I would imagine, to the athletes.
Sure.
Than sitting here going back and forth between winning and losing and going nowhere.
Yeah, and in an environment that doesn't seem to be thriving right now.
Nobody wants to be on the trading block. I think if you really asked Zach Wheeler or Noah Syndergaard, they'd want to stay here. They want to play in New York. They want to play for the Mets. They want to see it through. But the problem is that the Mets have a flawed roster. And that roster has to be rebuilt. And the only way that you could rebuild it in Major League Baseball is by trading away chips to get prospects back. And there are enough prospects in those other two organizations where, you know, maybe the Mets have a chance to cherry pick some of those guys.
Sure. Well, they should be in a position of leverage. And where the Yankees come into play here, I think it's very interesting. We have heard since Brody Van Wagenen has become the general manager that Brian Cashman and Brody Van Wagenen are willing to work together. That these guys are not going to let the past between these organizations get in between what could be a working relationship now in the present and the future. What did Brian Cashman do when he heard that the Tampa Bay Rays and the Minnesota Twins and maybe other teams were interested in Edwin Encarnacion? What did he do?
He went and got him.
Right. Okay. So now he's hearing that the Red Sox are interested in Wheeler, the Astros are interested in Mets pitching, that Noah Syndergaard's on the block. What do you think Brian Cashman's going to do there? Is he just going to sit back because it's the Mets?
No, he may go after the guys up in Toronto, but what he'll do is he'll make a phone call. But here's the thing. Zach Wheeler on the Yankees, I may see that. Noah Syndergaard on the Yankees, not a chance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Not a chance in hell. The way I look at it now. I'm not trying to predict anything. I just can't imagine Noah Syndergaard on the mound in a Yankee uniform. I actually see Jacob DeGrom more than I see Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, to think that Jeff, Fred, Brody, all the powers that be over with the Mets would let that happen and be able to live with that. You know, as the Mets are limping towards another 78 win season, maybe worse, as Noah Syndergaard is pitching game two of the ALCS for the Yankees.
If the Mets really want to screw the Yankees, they can just send them to Boston.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah, so that's why I think Brian Cashman has to be cognizant of that. And that right there might help the Mets end up getting a player or two that could really accelerate what is the next phase of this organization.
The amazing thing is that the Jets now have a seasoned man running their general manager position, a guy that's been around a while, seen two teams rebuild themselves and bring in top quality players. And he obviously, Joe Douglas, I'm talking about, knows what to do. Dave Gettleman, in the midst of a rebuild for the New York Giants while trying to stay competitive, has changed the roster significantly. He'll have to really work on the defense in the offseason this coming season. So his three-year plan will be done by the time we sit here next year. I see exactly what Jeff Gordon and the Rangers are doing. I see what Shiro's doing with the Devils. I can tell what's happening with a lot of these teams. Brian Cashman is the one that continues to add and continues to feel the most competitive team in baseball. So now you have this inexperienced general manager who's trying to do what all these other people are doing with their respective rosters. I mean, hell, you got Lou Lamoriello running the Islanders.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's about as seasoned as they come in the NHL. And you have a novice, inexperienced agent running the Mets.
Yeah.
So you tell me, now after what you have seen, the first 3 months of the season, 2.5 months of the season, what you think about what the prospects are for the future and his decision-making.
No, I think that we're in for a long rebuild and maybe even a situation where Brody Van Wagenen makes a mistake at this trade deadline, much like the Robinson Cano Edwin Diaz trade that sets him back another 4 or 5 years. That's how I feel.
Do you see, given Cespedes, given David Wright, given what they're paying Jacob DeGrom right now, what they owe Bobby Bonilla still, do you see the Mets paying one of these pitchers another boatload of dough to keep him here?
No. I mean, that's why Zach Wheeler is gone. He's going to get paid too much in the offseason. And I think that Noah Syndergaard, if you really want to be able to fill some of these other holes and turn the page, he's the only guy that you can trade to be able to do that because he doesn't have his big deal yet. He's still young. And there's going to be a team out there that says we can make him the best pitcher in baseball. And that's why that's the most interesting name right now for the Mets at the deadline. And Brody cannot waste this opportunity. He can't. He cannot look at this market and see what teams need, teams in contention that can taste the title, and then look at the Mets with Wheeler and Syndergaard and say, we've got to hang on to these guys because we think we can sneak into the wild card.
Here's a big question for you. Is there a young, dynamic center fielder and a hot fielding third baseman who are both offensive upside guys that next year can man those positions for the New York Mets?
Man, it's too bad that Clint Frazier's defense stinks, because that would be the guy I would target right away. Bring him here, a little bit of swagger, be able to hit, add him to the young core of players.
And where are you playing him?
Left field. Play him in left.
So you have a bona fide starting first baseman playing left field. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's got to be a guy that you have to consider trading. Now, I don't know how the rest of the league views Dom Smith. We've kind of grown up with him, so we've watched him fail, and now all of a sudden he's become a pretty quality major league hitter, but he's not playing his natural position.
Yeah, so if people are saying, well, you can't have Clint Frazier come over and play left field, I mean, or you see what the Mets are throwing out there in left field without Yoenis Cespedes there? I mean, it's not like you basically got a Gold Glover option on the bench every single night with the Mets.
And the amazing thing is, next year we could be watching Ahmed Rosario running around in center field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole nother thing. I mean,
it's a lot of work to do.
You cannot make it up. You really
can't. It's a lot of work. But do the Mets think it's a lot of work? And that's going to be the overriding factor. Does Brody Van Wagenen look at this like we look at it? Or does he look at it that we're only three or four good starts away? If the bullpen was a little bit better, if we could only do this.
They have the worst, one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
We see it that way. Most Mets fans see it that way. Do the guys that are pulling the strings and making the decisions see it that way? Or do they think that, hey, boy, the Nationals won the 13 out of 15 or whatever. We can do that. We're just as good as them. Let's give it a whirl. Would be a horrible missed opportunity if that were the case. You have to take advantage of what this market is, especially for starting pitchers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.